The message you're about to hear is part of the ministry of Great Falls Christian Center in Great Falls, Montana. Sit back, relax, and we pray that you hear from God.
All right, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I want to do something on 17 because it's St. Patrick's Day, and we did. See, Luke 17. We just finished a four-part series on the foundations, on square one we called it, on kind of our foundations of our faith, our salvation, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then what the church is, how to be connected to the church. And through that time, many people were stirred to do different things, to make new choices or to receive something new from the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about today. This really isn't a part of that series, but it kind of ties in sort of a transition to what we're going to do coming up in the weeks to come. I want to talk today about how to receive from God, how to receive the things that you need from the Lord. And so I'm going to read a couple stories. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to share with you some thoughts on this, how to receive from the Lord. The Bible says that everything good comes from Him. We'll read that scripture in just a moment. So Luke 17, verse 11, it says, "Now on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood in a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When He saw them, He said, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And when they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then He said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Actually, that word is sozo. It's the same word is used for salvation. Your faith has saved you. And then in verse 35, it says, "As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening, and they told him, 'Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.' And he called out, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Those who led the way rebuked him and told him, 'Be quiet.' But he shouted all the more." Isn't that good? He didn't care what they said. You know, when you're blind, when you have a need in your life, you're not trying to be appropriate. You're just trying to get your need met. Amen? And so he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped, ordered the man to be brought to him, and when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight. He followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Now let's stand and let's pray. Pray that our hearts, we do this every Sunday, but we need to be open today. Because I have a desire that God would challenge, but also equip us to help us to see things maybe in a new light. How many have weaknesses or needs in your life? That would probably be everybody here. All right. And maybe you've even prayed about them or had others pray for them. But I believe God wants to give you some insight that will help you appropriate what He has for you. Can you say amen to that? All right, let's go ahead and put our hand on our heart and on our mind. We're going to pray for an open heart and open mind. Lord Jesus, this morning I ask that my heart and my mind would be open to You. I pray that You speak to me. I pray that You teach me. And I pray that You reveal Yourself to me. Help me to understand and receive and walk in your truth. Thank you, Jesus. Fathers, we prayed for open hearts and open minds. Lord, I pray now that you'd give me grace and wisdom. God, you'd give me insight and anointing, Lord, to speak your word to your people. God, I believe that you desire to care for us. And God, there's just so much in our culture and even in our mindset, Lord, that actually hinders us from receiving from you. So, Lord, I pray you would break down barriers. I pray you'd bring insight. And God, I pray that you'd speak to each of us this morning truth in a way that sets us free. God, I thank you for these people. Bless this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Go ahead and be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26 says, "What then shall we say, brothers, when you come together," he's talking about in church, "when you come together as the people of God, everyone has a hymn or word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All these must be done for the strengthening of the church." Now, this passage in 1 Corinthians 14, he's talking about, and 12 and 13, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He's talking about gifts that God gives to us, to you and I, so that we can minister to one another. All these, it says, must be done for the strengthening of the church, not for your edification, not so you'll feel really like, wow, I've really got some good stuff going on here, but and not even for your own sense of significance, but so that the church can be strengthened. Can you get that? Do you say amen to that? So God gives to everyone here, he gives gifts, things to give. And we talked a little bit about that, I think, last week, too, in the church. God puts stuff in you, spiritual stuff and natural stuff, and it's for the blessing of the body. In James 1:17, it says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father." Every good thing, everything we need. In Peter, it says he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Here's what everything that we will need in life has its source in God, and he wants to give it to us, to enable us, to equip us, to take care of us. Everything. Do you believe that? You're not really sure, but you sort of believe that, all right? The problem isn't that he doesn't give it. The problem is that we have a hard time receiving it. And sometimes I think we misunderstand what it is. Sometimes we have desires in our life and we say, well, if God loved me, he would fulfill that desire. But in his plan, he may not fulfill that desire. I was reading our devotions this morning, and it's really interesting in Acts where Peter goes to jail, and he sets him free. How many have read that or read that earlier? Should have read it today. But James got beheaded. Two apostles, two people doing the will of God. One loses his life, and one gets set free from prison. All in the will of God. Now, how many does that make your brain hurt? A little, you just say, that doesn't seem right. Well, it's because eternity is involved. It's much bigger than just James' individual life or Peter's individual life. But everything good, everything we need, everything in life that comes from the Lord, and then our heart needs to be open to receive it. Go ahead and put, I have a note. I said, it actually grieves the Lord when we don't receive his blessings in our life. Go ahead and put the scripture up in, I believe it's in Matthew or Luke 9:19-41. It says, "And he approached Jerusalem, Jesus, and he saw the city, and then he wept over it." He goes on to say, "Man, I believe that's the passage where he says, I wanted to gather you like a mother hen gathers its chicks, but you wouldn't let me do that. He said, I wanted to take care of you, but you wouldn't let me do it." So God's always wants to do the right stuff in our life. But there are things in us that can hinder that. How many have experienced that in life? You know in your brain this is from God or God wants to do something, but in reality you just have a hard time getting there. And as we went through this series of things, we talked about salvation. There are lots of people in this city that need to be saved. Is that right? And there are people visit our church that need to be saved that walk away and don't get saved. And actually came because they had a hope, they wanted something, but for some reason it doesn't connect. Or if it does connect, they only kind of get part way there. How many know what I'm talking about? Or water baptism. There's a work in water baptism, but you have to choose to do it. You had to actually, you can hear messages on it. You can think, oh, that's so cool, but you actually have to participate. Holy Spirit baptism. There are many people that want, but they have a hard time receiving. And I'm going to address this stuff and help you with it. So God wants you to have the stuff you need for life, but you have to receive it. All right? So are you ready for this? How do you receive it? Let's go to let me just get into the how you receive from the Lord, all right? And I think I have seven things a part of this, and they tie together things that are essential for you to receive from the Lord. The first two really are kind of really linked together, and it's desperation and humility. Everybody say desperation. That sounds desperate, doesn't it? You're just like, and to think that I have to be desperate is kind of, it bothers my pride. Does it bother your pride to think you're desperate? You know, when you're out, you're single, you don't have a spouse, and if somebody says you're just desperate to get married, you go, I am. Oh, I don't want to be right. I mean, so that can make, if you're desperate, it can manipulate you. So it has kind of a negative connotation that I'm desperate, but in God, you need to be desperate for God and for the things that God has, and then you need to be humble enough to receive it. Desperate just simply means to say that you see the depth of your need. Go ahead and put the scriptures up. In Luke, he said, he called out, he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's actually a really powerful passage. This guy's blind. He's sitting there, and he hears this commotion. He says, what's going on? Now again, think about that. If you're blind, somebody has to actually inform you because you don't know what's happening. Isn't that a great analogy of before Christ? The Bible says you're blind without Christ. And somebody has to enable you to hear about it and to know a little bit about what's going on. And out of that, he gets a spark of hope. He's heard stories probably of Jesus. The person says, Jesus is coming by. And so he begins to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, he didn't say it like that. He said, Jesus, Son of David. Shh, quiet down, quiet down. This is church. Don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. He didn't care. He doesn't care what anybody else thinks. He doesn't care what any. He said, have mercy on me, please. And you know, God loves that. We don't like it. In fact, you all look kind of freaked when I yelled. Right? I mean, it makes you uncomfortable. What's he doing screaming in church? Church should be solemn. No. This guy is just, he doesn't care about anything except getting what he needs. He needs to see. And we have needs in our life that we don't realize how deep they are. And what they become is wants rather than needs. I'd like to really have a good Christian life. And you know, I see my friend and they have a good marriage and their kids seem to be doing well and they seem to be happy. I'd kind of like to have that. Kind of like to have it. And so we almost, when we offer salvation, for example, to people, it's like, should I do this or shouldn't I? That doesn't come out of deep need. That comes out of like a mental decision. That won't work. You have to be desperate. You say, I don't care what it takes. You want me to crawl to the front? I'll crawl to the front. And we and the Bible teaches us that when you present the gospel, we need to present it with gentleness and respect. All right, Peter says that. Be ready to give an answer for the stuff that's in you, the reason for the hope that's in you, but do it with gentleness and respect. So when you're sharing with somebody, don't get harsh on them and try to force them to say, well, you're going to have to jump through this hope. You're going to show me you really need. But if you want to receive from the Lord, let your desperation come out. And I think we're so cultured that we don't want that. Like I just yelled, how many of you would want to scream out in church, I want to get saved? No, I don't know how to do it like that. Half of you would probably maybe have eternity in hell waiting for you if that was the way you had to do it, because I'm not going to make a scene. But there needs to be, well, it's not just with that, whether it's healing or where it's just help in any way. Some of you, we have prayer every Sunday, and you don't come down for prayer because you just don't want to look like you need prayer. Come on. You guys all... Jesus loves desperation. Need. I don't think we realize... One of the problems, our culture can either anesthetize... Did I get that right? Anesthetize our needs. Do you understand? We can do it with drugs. We can do it with, there are ways we can sort of get our needs met. And so we say, well, that's okay. But people in those days, they didn't have all the dulling agents like TV and movies and drugs. And they did have alcohol, and they probably had some kind of drug. I don't know what it was, but not to the degree we have. So they maybe were more aware of their needs. We're dulled and softened, and I believe God wants us desperate to receive from Him. Go ahead and put another scripture up there. In Jeremiah 29:11-13, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." All your heart. That's what God wants. It's not that you have to yell and scream out to get something from God. Do you understand that? But he wants you to really want it. Not to think, well, this wouldn't be so bad. I might like to go to heaven. I wouldn't mind getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. It wouldn't be a bad deal to get healed. I wouldn't mind having some wisdom from the Lord. That'd help out a little bit. Sure. Can I give you some godly wisdom? Sure. Can't hurt. Well, your chances have gone down considerably because there's not that heart says, God, you have it and I want it. Amen? Let's go on. Secondly, and this is really tied in, you have to see how much you need, and then you have to understand you don't have the solution. And this is a huge issue for lots of us, particularly men who always think we can figure out how to fix it. Come on, guys. How many guys in here are fixers? I am. I have a scheme. I have a plan for everything. And sometimes God just totally messes it up, so I realize I don't know what to do. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. He says, "We have no power to face this vast army that's attacking. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Humility is admitting, I don't have the strength to do it. Guys, have you ever had your wife ask you to open a jar of pickles or something, and you can't get it open? And you're just not going to tell her you can't. And you'll like rip muscles trying to get it open. You're beating it on the deal. Break the glass even sometimes. Because there's something in us that really has struggles with the minute. I need this. And I can't do this. I can't fix it. Let me show you another good scripture here. In Isaiah 57:10, it says, "You are wearied of all your ways." In other words, you were tired of the way things were going. How many of you have ever been tired of the way things were going? He says, you're wearied of your ways, but you would not say it's hopeless. You found renewal of your strength, and so you didn't faint. And he goes on to say, so I couldn't help you. You didn't like the way things were, but you said, I'm going to try one more thing here. I'm going to try one more program. There's something. And to get to a place of just desperation, say, God, I don't know what to do. I just need you. And that's so difficult to do because you renew your strength. Say, well, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can fix this. And really, for God to receive from the Lord takes a place of humility. Let me go back to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Nate did a great message on that. A lot of times people struggle for a number of reasons receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit from people, from God. And sometimes they say, well, I've always believed this. And you can show them in Scripture where what they've always believed is not right, but to admit that they've been wrong all their life is really difficult. Come on, was anybody else in that situation? And you said, well, I've always believed this. Who cares? Really, if you've always believed a lie, why don't you just stop? If you always believed something that wasn't true, quit. I don't have it all figured out. Neither do you. And God brings new and fresh revelation all the time. But it takes a humility. He says, God, I don't know. But I know who does know. You know. This is communicate. This desperation and humility. Say, God, please, I need you. And again, this goes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit to salvation, to healing, to just ministry in your life, to wisdom in your life. Anything you need from God. God has everything. It takes, God, I need you. And really what I need more than a fix is I need you personally. Amen? And God, I don't know how to get there. And God says, now you're right where I need you to be. Sometimes God will take you on a journey to get you to this place. How many have experienced that journey? Trust me, it's better to just go there right away and skip the trip, okay? All right. Next, please, all right? So, first of all, you get this. First of all is desperation and humility. And sometimes God will put you in that place where it's pretty easy to see that. And then a third one is petition. And I want you to get what I'm going to say about this. Petition is asking, and they cried out for mercy. They cried out for mercy. They didn't say, do this, this, and this, in this order, this way. They just said, I need mercy from you, Lord. His terms, His way. Say that with me. His terms, His way. His terms, His way. What if you're James and you get to get your head cut off? His terms. God, just think about it. God, I want to fulfill your purposes in my life. Okay, James, here we go. Are you guys tracking with me? I mean, we just read that this morning. His terms, His way. How could that possibly be in the will of God to cut an apostle's head off? Because God's bigger than this life. That's in a nutshell what it is. That it set it up for Peter, which set it up for us. And it doesn't make sense. And if you're James or James's family, you're thinking, this is really, I don't like this at all. His terms, His way. Let's go on here. I took this out of a commentary. I just like it. It says, they call Jesus Master. The word for master is not rabbi. Okay, normally they would call him rabbi. Here, rabbi means teacher. Rabbi, the teacher. But it's epistata, which means the chief, the commander, the overseer, the one who has the power to meet the needs. They There was an, I think Pastor Lee said it during worship, there was an element of surrender in their petition of the Lord. He said, Master, have mercy. Then Jesus said, what do you want? And he said, well, I want to see. He said, okay. And he gave him his sight. But they just said, have mercy. That's what they were looking for. Master, leader, overseer, Lord of my life, Lord of everything. I need something from you. All right? Go ahead and put the next scripture. Luke 18:9-4. The tax collector, this is another story. Two guys go in to pray, and Jesus is telling a story to the Pharisees. He says, one guy, a Pharisee, came in, and he said, oh, Lord, I'm so grateful that I'm a good man. I tithe and I give and go to church and wear a suit coat. He said, I look good, act good, I'm just good. He says, I'm really grateful I'm not like this little guy over in the corner here. That's obviously a little bit of a paraphrase. But it says, but the tax collector, and he would not be well thought of by the people Jesus is speaking to, stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you the truth, that man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. See, here's what to receive from the Lord, you got to just throw yourself on his mercy. And whatever you do, whatever you want, God, I just want you. I want your plan. I want your way. I believe one of the greatest battles in Christianity is for our will. And our will conflicts with God's. And it's not that God wants you to do these horrible things. It's God wants you to recognize that he's the Lord, and you're not, and I'm not. And so when you cry out, Master, have mercy. No conditions. No, this is what has to happen. This has to happen. But whatever you want, I just want you, Lord. Then God has fertile ground that he can work on. Amen? Let's put next up here. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne. Everybody say throne. Who sits on a throne? A what? King. Right? Master. Okay, the throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Petition the Lord as the Lord. There's a scripture that says he's our shield and buckler, and sometimes we misunderstand and think he's our shield and butler. God's not here for you. You're here for him. And when you're here for him, he actually is there for you. But the beginning place is you're the Lord. And whatever you do, again, I just reading that story of James and Peter, I thought, man, Peter got his head cut off. He's the first martyr in the church, and it leads into the story where. James gets his head cut off, where Peter is let out of prison and it's a great miracle and everybody's rejoicing. But I believe James was just as much in the will of God. And he was surrendered to it. How many of you does this challenge a little bit? Maybe even annoy. All right? That's good. That's good. Be honest with God about that. Talk to him about that. Say, man, I struggle with this. You know, I can preach this better than I can live it. I'm just telling you. And I can live it really well sometimes. But when I'm Peter, I live it really well. When I'm James, don't live it so well. Does that make sense? Does that help you? Okay. All right. So, the throne of grace. Number four. Next, please. Number four, we're talking about receive from the Lord. So, petition, or we start out with just desperation. I need you. Humility says, I don't have what it takes to get my need fulfilled. Petition said, you're the Lord, and I'm crying out for mercy. Okay? You got that so far? All right, let's go on to this one. Faith. Faith, the Bible says, really, without faith, you don't receive anything from the Lord. Faith, you must believe. What do you have to believe? You have to believe that he's able and that He's good. That He's able, that He's good, and that He's for you. All right? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to Him, all right, we want to receive from the Lord, so we're coming to Him, right? Must believe that He exists. You've got to believe He's real. And that He rewards those who earnestly, with humility and desperation, seek Him. Do you see that? He says, you just got to believe that He's a good God. Go ahead and put next scripture up here. Luke 12:32. Don't be afraid. I've always loved this scripture. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. This is the RBJ, Robert Bruce Johnson translation, my translation. Don't worry. God loves taking care of you. You know, in a sense, that's really what faith is. That he can take care of you and that He wants to. How many of you are parents here? Do you want good stuff for your children? When they ask for stuff, do you think, now I'm gonna send somebody to beat you up for a while until you're really humble? I'm gonna mess with you. That doesn't even enter your mind. You want to care for your children. You love your children, and you want a good life for them. You want the right things for them. And you're limited. You're limited in your wisdom. You're limited in your resources. God's not limited. But He has a greater Father's heart than we can even imagine. You take your best and magnify it a billion times, and that's His Father's heart. So He really cares for His people, wants to do what's right for His people as they yield to Him and receive Him as Father. But here's the big difference. He has the goods. He has the stuff. And He will provide. He'll take care of you. Now, it may not work out the way you want it. How many of you ever had that happen? How many have ever been in James's shoes? Not literally. Obviously, you wouldn't be here if you'd been that far into it. But how many have ever been in James's shoes where you got, it seemed like, I'm getting my head cut off right now. And you sort of suspect it might even be in the will of God, but it still feels like you're getting whacked, right? But you can also be in Peter's shoes. You leave that to the Lord. But faith says, whatever happens, Lord, there's a rightness to this. And you have me in mind. You love me. You don't want to be. See, here's the truth of the matter. James was better off than Peter. Do you realize that? You're thinking, you really? James went to heaven. Boom. He's in glory. He is enjoying things that you can't even imagine. Peter had to keep working and do it and hanging out in this world, battling sin and the flesh and all that stuff. And James got to go to heaven. But when you look at it in the natural, you think, no, I think Peter got the better deal. James got the better deal. That's, how many know that's a little hard to get your brain around, isn't it? Particularly if you're James. All right. So you must believe that He's good and He's able. Don't worry. God loves taking care of you. He loves watching over you. He really cares about you. Actually, He really cares about you. I mean, really cares. The Bible, it says that he's concerned about every little thing in your life. One of my favorite scriptures, obviously, is that He numbers the hair of your head. How many of you ever read that? He likes me better because it's easier. He just goes, 3. He gets to Lee and he goes, 12 billion. Bob, 3. So there, I like Bob better. He's just easier on me. So, but the reason, that's actually almost a silly scripture, the hairs of your head. What he's saying, he's trying to, almost through exaggeration, tell you how deeply he cares for you. If somebody was so into you, you imagine having a girlfriend that goes, I just love your hair, Jeff. 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, Jeff. Look, 9, 10, 11. You go, whoa, dude. God, but God does that. Now, he's really fast. So one, two, three, five. Anyway, all right. So faith. Next, please. All right. Number five. Again, we're talking about how do you receive the Lord? Is persistence. Luke 18, verse 39. Those who led the way, the leaders, rebuked this guy, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He really didn't care what anybody thought. He just wanted to get something from Jesus. And so he wasn't concerned about the process. And sometimes, and I think it's in our culture in particular, we're very concerned about our dignity and the process. And you know, I'll say after service, if you want to receive the Lord, raise your hand. And then I'll encourage them to stand and then come forward. And a lot of times I just have them sit there. And it's not wrong to do that, but sometimes it's almost playing into that thing of, I don't want to stand out. How many of you don't like to stand out? You don't like to... Most people don't. Really, well, there's a few of you that just, I would really like to be the star. But most of you would rather be a sporting role. You'd rather have a sporting role. And sometimes... Do you think that guy stood out? Do you think he even cared? See, the deal, he was blind. He couldn't see. And so he could be blind and have his dignity, or he could shout like a fool and get healed. And he said, you know what? I'd rather see. Yeah. That's, by the way, that's why desperation is really important. So there's just a persistence. You know, I went down for prayer. I need healing, but I don't want to go again because I'll, you know, then they'll think I'm not very, I don't have a lot of faith or I can't receive. Just keep going. Keep going. Get prayer every week until you either get healed or die. Or God says stop. By the way, he can do that. He told Paul, that's enough. I'm not going to do it. But don't worry. Quit worrying about what you look like. Worry about what God wants. Now again, that's one of those things I can just say that like I've really got it wired and we're all going, yeah, that's right. And until you're in that situation and you look, you know, all right, you guys know what I'm talking about. All right, I think I got another scripture here on this one. Luke 11:9. He says, so I say, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Those words mean ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. And knock and keep on knocking. Just don't quit until you got an answer. Sometimes God actually wants that. That's what he's looking for from you. Do you really want this? Are you going to hang in there? Or you say, well, you know, that's not a bad idea. Lord, okay. Sure. How many would like a donut? You want a donut? Okay, well, I should go. Oh, no. Now, if you come to me and bug me and say, you promised a donut, I would probably get you a donut. But just because you raised hands, I'm not going to give you Actually, I thought, it would have been really cool if I walked out here with a platter of donuts and only give it to the people that raised their hands. And there's at least 50 of you who are thinking, I'd actually like one. I'm just not going to raise my hand, but I'd actually like one. Come on. Particularly from that, what is the world's best donuts down there on Central? Can we get that for the next service? I'm ready for a donut myself. All right. So persistence. That's God. Persistence actually speaks to your faith. It means you have a heart. You say, I believe you've got it, God, and I believe you love me. And so until you tell me different, I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep seeking. And if you say stop, I'll stop. Or if you answer it, I'll do it. Or if I go to heaven, I'll go, wow, there it is. Amen? All right, next. Number six. This is a tough one, too, is obedience. Obedience. Luke 17:14. When he saw them, he said, go and show yourself a priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. As they acted upon what Jesus said, they were cleansed. I think I have another scripture there. Do we? Yeah, James 2, verse 17 says, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. And so often, most of the time, God has things he wants you to do. He'll tell you to do. Now, there are times when you do nothing and God just shows up and does stuff. How many have ever experienced that in your life? But normal, for example, if you want to be saved, you have to repent of your sins and declare Jesus as Lord. You have to believe in your heart and speak with your mouth. And you go, I don't want to speak with my mouth. Well, then you don't get what you want. You don't get saved. There's a lot of times Jesus would tell somebody, I want you to go to the pool and wash, or I'm going to put mud on your, whatever I'm going to do. There's a story in the Old Testament of like the head of the king's army, Naaman was, I think his name was Naaman, and he came and Elijah, I believe, is the guy, the prophet, and he had leprosy. And he said, I want you to go down to the River Jordan, and I want you to wash 7 times. And he wouldn't do it. Now, he had leprosy. He really wanted, he went all the way. He offered all this money to the guy, but he wouldn't do it because it seemed demeaning, or it didn't fit his plan. And his servant had a little more wisdom than he had. He said, if he'd asked you to do some great and hard thing, wouldn't you have done that? He said, yeah. He said, just telling you, go down this river. He says, don't we have good rivers back home? He said, yeah, but he told you to go to this one. The guy goes down there, and he's squeaky clean. And then he realizes, oh, obedience is in there. Again, let's go back to the part about master, see? He is the master. You have to do what he wants. You have to do it his way. I was reading, we've been reading through Leviticus and Numbers and all the law and stuff, and I'm thinking, God, how does this fit? How many when you read that stuff, you think, what does this have to do with me? Well, let me give you one way it fits. God told them, this is the way to do it, and they did it, and God blessed it. And when they didn't, remember, there were two priests. There were five, Aaron and his sons. They were all the priests, and they were doing the first big deal. And two of them got really excited, and they came in, and they went, and the Bible says they offered strange fire. I'm not sure what that meant, but they came in and did it a little bit different. How many have ever had a better idea? Okay, they had a better idea than God, and so they offered. They're giving something. They're doing something. They're not taking. They're giving. It's in their way. Everybody say their way. Now say my way. So they did it my way. They did it their way. And you know what happened? God killed them on the spot. Whoa. They were doing, seemed like good stuff. The only problem was they were the priests. They had a high calling, and they were doing it their way. And then God says to Aaron, he said, don't mourn. Don't grieve. Don't even look like you're sad. How many of you, honestly, that doesn't make any sense at all. You just watched your kids get killed because they did something nice the wrong way. Now, what's being communicated? Here's what's being communicated. It's God's way, period. He wants you to obey. Now, in the New Testament, seems to have a little more grace. How many are glad for that? All right. But the same principle applies. It's the same God. He didn't have like a midlife crisis and get nice for the New Testament. Oh, by the way, a lot of people believe that. A lot of people, they don't teach it, but they kind of do. It's like he was mean in the Old Testament, something happened, and he got nice in the New Testament. Same God, same principle. He requires obedience. He requires you to do things his way. What he says in the Bible, there's a scripture, and I believe it's in Psalm 119, it says that God's word is all of his principles are to be obeyed. And we have this idea, I can obey what I want because God has mercy and God has grace. God's God. He's not, you don't barter with him or make a deal. You just do what he says. It's his way. And when you receive that, the people that didn't obey didn't receive. If they had not gone, he said, go wash in the pool or whatever he told. Go show yourself to the priest. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, then you wouldn't get healed. You have to do, I'm not trying to make a pattern like you got to go to the priest, you got to do that. I'm saying you got to just obey God. if you want to receive from God. God delights in blessing those who do what He says. And if you don't do what He says, the consequences are always bad. Amen? That's, again, one of those amens like, amen. All right. Faith, it has to be accompanied by action. Number seven, gratitude. Actually, deep gratitude is always should be the result of receiving from Him, seeking Him. Luke 17, one of them, when he heard he was healed, this is really interesting. He was healed. That's, I forget the Greek word, but it's a specific word. Came back and praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus and he thanked Him. He was a Samaritan, so he was not. He was cut, wasn't even in the quality of the other people and people he's talking about. We're not ten cleansed. So there's a word healed, and there's a word cleansed. Those are the healed means that they were made right. There was what was cleansed means that they were restored. In other words, the leprosy was gone. Where are the other nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God? So thank, give praise to God, except this foreigner. Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." That's a third word used there for what happened to them. And this one means made whole. It's the word that's used for our salvation. He received more than the others. Now, I'm not really sure. You know, I've heard guys teach on this and read commentaries on it that maybe the others, the leprosy was gone. But, you know, leprosy, things fall off. And so maybe the stuff that fell off didn't, you know, was still gone, and he got his fingers back. But I believe something happened in his heart, too. I really believe that's a bigger issue. Go ahead and put that. I think I have a quote from the Message Bible. Then he said to him, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has healed and saved you." So listen, if we're desperate and we realize we don't have any way of fixing this, we cry out for mercy, and God does something in our life, what else can we do but say, "Thank you, Jesus"? I mean, really deep gratitude. I think of my own life, how many things I've prayed for, got an answer, and forgot that I prayed for it. Anybody else do that? I would like to think of myself as a grateful person. But I'm convicted that I don't live my life with the level of gratitude I believe I should. And I honestly believe that's the key to success as a Christian, living grateful. Everyone in this room was condemned to death. Everyone in this room was destined for hell. And those who have received the Lord get heaven. And we're cranky with each other about it. Go figure. We don't like the conditions or the circumstances or the way things go. By the way, I'm in this as much as you are. And really, there's no other way for me to live my life but just grateful. God, you saved me. And if I do, if nothing else happens in my life, I'm going to worship you and thank you until you take me home where everything is right. I believe that's the attitude God's looking for in all of us. Can you say amen to that? Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray you help us. God, this is a hard teaching in some ways. Lord, it's hard to hear this. And God, because every one of us can see things in our life that aren't the way we'd like them to be, and we've even prayed about them and maybe not got the answers or the solution that we'd hoped for. God, I pray you bring us back to a place of just simple humility before you and gratitude. God, realizing we're desperate, we were born desperate, we'll be desperate till we die. But God, you are our master, and you do take care of us. And we can trust in you. God, help us to come to you when we have needs and to receive from you. But God, let us always be filled with deep and abiding gratitude. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. While your heads are bowed, let me ask this. Just keep your heads bowed for a moment. Perhaps there's somebody here that you're not saved or you're backslidden. Either you have never given your life to Christ, or you did at one time, but you've run away from that, and you need to come back to Him. I want to tell you, it has to be on His terms. It requires repentance. You have to say, I've been wrong. You can't make excuses and say, well, people didn't treat me right, the church didn't treat me right, I've had a bad attitude about Christians or whatever. None of that stuff matters. What matters is God's God, and your life and your relationship with Him is broken. But if you want it to be right, He's here today to make it right with you, and He will. You have to respond. You have to obey in response. Say, God, I want that. So as we close, if that's you, I want to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Say, I want to get right with God. All right? Anybody else? All right? Anyone else? All right, we're going to pray together right now. We're going to pray a prayer of dedication. Could I get Lloyd and Sharon, could you come up front with Lee and be ready to minister to people? Father, we thank You. You can pray with me. Father, we thank You that You are my solution. I repent of the way I've lived, and I turn my heart to You. I ask You to save me, to forgive me, and to change me. I surrender my life, my heart, my will, and my way to You. I believe that You died in my place. I believe You rose from the dead for my eternity. And today, I give my life to You. Thank You, Jesus.
The message you just heard is part of the ministry of Great Falls Christian Center. Additional sermon resources are available by calling us at 406-727-4849 or by visiting us on the web at gfcconline.com. Thanks again for listening.